feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
I know your name is Rita, 'cause your perfume is smelling sweet. Since when I saw you down on the floor.
You just heard from New York Congressman Anthony D. Esposito. He is going to join Speaker Johnson tomorrow, who's going to be meeting with Jewish students at Columbia University in New York. Many Jewish students who say they don't want to go back on campus because things are so bad. We're going to be taking your calls about that. And what role do you think the universities play in all this? What do you think the White House needs to do? Because, boy, we've got a lot of months until Election Day. And there are so many things going on in the world as you're seeing what's happening in Israel. We're seeing everything that's happening with Ukraine. The world's on fire in so many places. And now some of these protesters are lighting fires and defacing property. And they say they are only going to step up efforts. And this mamsy-pamsy attitude of a lot of these university heads of the universities, the presidents and the boards, a lot of them are just so soft. They're afraid to say anything, just like the head of Columbia University. Remember, she thought it was like a trick question almost when she was asked about from the river to the sea. We all know what it means. And yet, for some reason, she acted like it was a trick question. Is it time for real moral clarity at America's universities before this contagion spreads to every school around the country? And listen, I'm glad that Speaker Johnson's going. I'm glad that Congressman Anthony D. Esposito and others are going tomorrow. Thank goodness they are. Where's our White House? Where's the President of the United States? The only thing he's done is give these little mumbly statements, and it's only been one that he like said under his breath, and under his breath, he basically equated Israel with Hamas. And in fact, the U.S. State Department just came out and listed Israel as one of the human rights abusers. So they're throwing Israel under the bus, and they wonder why these students are getting emboldened and getting more and more violent and more brash at every different turn. Also, later on this hour, we're going to talk about the trial against President Trump. Because we're waiting to see, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, that apparently there are discussions, according to multiple reports, with Secret Service and with local law enforcement trying to decide how they could handle it if President Trump gets thrown in jail for violating the gag order or at the end of this trial. Does that sound like a foregone conclusion or what? I'm not surprised, because the way that this judge has acted, it's been so over the top. Today, there were hearings for the gag order. It was also the second day of David Pecker, who is the National Enquirer, the former editor there, talking about everything. And if you listen to even legal strategists today, they're like, they didn't see a crime there. That was on CNN. CNN's legal analyst was going, you know what? What I'm just hearing is sort of typical sort of tabloid stuff. This is not necessarily a crime. And you can see the CNN host was like, let's go to a commercial break. Here is President Trump today after court saying, you know what? This is clearly election interference. Take a listen.
And by the way, this trial is all Biden. You know, this is all Biden, just in case anybody has any question. And they're keeping me in a courtroom. It's freezing, by the way, in a courtroom all day long. Well, he's out campaigning. That's probably an advantage because he can't campaign. Nobody knows what he's doing. You can't put two sentences together. But he's out campaigning. He's out campaigning, and I'm here in a courtroom sitting here, sitting up as straight as I can all day long because, you know what, it's a very unfair situation. So we're locked up in a courtroom, and this guy's out there campaigning, if you call it a campaign. Every time he opens his mouth, he gets himself into trouble.
And then he also started talking about Michael Cohen. And then they're like, okay, it's another violation of the gag order. Michael Cohen is all over the place, trashing President Trump. his former fixer, if you will, and former attorney. And yet President Trump isn't allowed to say a single word. I mean, how does that sound like this is American justice? It sure does not. Meantime, earlier today on Katz and Cosby, we talked with Professor Alan Dershowitz, and we talked about what's going on these university campuses, because President Trump said if he was in office, this would not be happening. And Professor Dershowitz said he is appalled by what's happening. And he says this is one of the most serious moments he believes in terms of protests in modern America. Listen.
What we're seeing in America is an attempt at a revolution. It's much more dangerous than what happened on January 6th, much more dangerous than Charlottesville. And we have to take it seriously with seeing tens of thousands of future leaders of America becoming radicalized, being taught to hate America, being taught to hate Jews. It is a really, really serious problem.
I agree. And it's also getting out of hand. We talked about at NYU, there were a whole bunch of arrests last night. And then they didn't like being arrested. Then they started screaming and shouting at the officers. Today, there was this like stand-in there at NYU. They said, okay, at 1 o'clock Eastern time, everybody who wants to support the protesters show up. And it was interesting because they happened to have pre-produced signs. I mean, it's really interesting. There's a lot of patterns here where you go, who's behind all of this? And one of the chiefs there at the NYPD, Kaz Daughtry, thinks the same thing. And he's saying it out loud. Listen to what he said this morning.
Are these just students that are in the middle of these protests?
No, and he's 100% right.
Who are these people?
Look at this. Ask yourself this question. Your viewers, ask yourself this question. Look at the tents. They all were the same color. They all were the same type of tents. The same ones that we saw on NYU. The same ones that we see in Columbia. To me, I think somebody's funding this. Also, there are professional agitators in there that are just looking for something to be agitated about, which is a protest.
So you're saying someone's funding this?
I think so. My personal opinion, nobody told me that. If you look at the tents, where do they all get them from? The same place, the same person? Somebody's behind this, and we're going to find out who it is.
And Mayor Eric Adams also said this today. I think they know more than they're saying. Listen to this.
And I think Commissioner Daughtry made a good point. When I saw one of the interviews he did, why is everybody's tent the same? Was there a fire sale on those tents? There's some organizing going on. You know, there's a well-concerted organizing effort. And what's the goal of that organizing? That's what we need to be asking ourselves.
You know what? Great points. And that's pretty interesting to see, you know, the NYPD and the mayor talking pretty forthrightly. And he's right. I love the line. Was there a fire sale? Was it like a 100 for one free deal or something like that at REI, you know, or Patagonia, you know, one of those stores? Because if you look at them, they all look the same. So who's buying up these tents? Who's lining them in these nice little lines? How did they suddenly, like today when they planned this like walkout, that was like this national walkout, and there was more than 1,000, I think it was at an NYPD alone. There were a whole bunch elsewhere. How did they all kind of get the message out? How did they all have these signs that were pre-produced, looked awfully nice and clean, when it was supposed to be, quote, a spontaneous walkout that they planned the day before? It seems way too organized, way too manufactured. And I think we need to find out who is behind this, not just the groups, but who are the people funding these groups? Because a lot of times these bad actors, if you will, that's a nice way to call them, these agitators, they put in a lot of money and they go to these groups, and then the groups then disperse the money. And they're often nonprofits. We need to get to the bottom of it to find out who is fostering hate in America. It's a very serious issue. 1-800-848-9222. And you're listening here to The Rita Cosby Show. Let's go to Christine, line 4. Christine, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. My thoughts are exactly what you're talking about. I've seen this going on for years, and I noticed this, and there's a uniformity about it, and I believe, for example, that the same entities that are behind this anti-Semitism issue were behind Black Lives Matter and other movements that spread dissent and violence and negativity. I've watched it. I've seen it happen in unions. I've seen it happen with tenant organizations. And it really smells bad.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think, just like you said, you got to crack down on it. I think some of them are similar agitators. I bet you some of these are professional protesters who just see an opportunity. I mean, some of them, if you interview them, they're and you say, hey, you know, what do you mean about Hamas? What do you mean about? And they go, what? Some of them do have an answer, which is even scarier. And they continue their love of Hamas, which is really scary, or supporting October 7th, which is despicable. But you're right. Some of these are just professionals. And if you don't clamp down on it, it will get worse. And we're already seeing it. And you see that they're enjoying, like, you know, they're like, they're now threatening. There's like 12 students, I think, who were suspended there at Columbia that are now saying they're going to sue Columbia and the university president. And they're also calling for her resignation. So the Jewish students are calling for her resignation. You heard a lot of members of Congress are saying she should resign. And now you also have the protesters saying that she's cracking down on them too much. This is what happens when you have no moral clarity. Let's go to Charlie in Hell's Kitchen. Charlie, your thoughts.
Yes. Well, first, I think you're absolutely right with respect to President Biden. He talks about two-state solution in the Middle East, but the real two-state solution that he's concerned about is both Michigan and Minnesota. He's concerned about Muslim votes or Arab votes in November, and this is craven political opportunism on his part. He's putting the screws and throwing our ally, best friend Israel, under the bus, which I think is just reprehensible. And with respect to these college protesters, I think Governor Hochul, she won't do this, but she should call out the National Guard. And with these college pukes, I think what's needed is another Kent State, and another Kent State would teach them a good lesson. And I'm that's frankly what I'm wishing for and hoping for. And then the college students will get the message.
Well, and you know what? There may be at some point, it may get to that. I mean, there's a lot of reason why they could already, because they're stepping on, you know, intruding people's livelihood. They are scaring people, intimidation. There's destruction of property, trespassing. There's a lot of these things. I also think, Charlie, we got to look and see who these people are. I mean, some of them are students, but then some of them apparently are not. And they're not really giving a breakdown of how many are not students. I wonder, first off, we know some are faculty, and that, boy, that speaks volumes that those are the mentors for these people. But there's also, I bet you, a number of people that maybe shouldn't even be in the country. And if that's the case, get them out. You know what? If you, I mean, I think obviously everybody needs to be taught a lesson. I think they should be arrested. I think there needs, and they should have done it day one, because now that they've let it go for so many months, it's a lot more difficult to rein things in. But I also think anybody who's here in the country illegally and they're here at the pleasure of a green card or a visa, whatever the criteria is that they are here, if they are a part of any of these protests that are anti-American protests, and most of them are because they're burning the American flag, get the heck out of our country. And you should never be allowed to come back in again. How dare you? You come to this country, you get freebies, you get this, you get that, and this is the thanks we get. We cannot allow these people to give a free pass. And we need to find out who's funding these people. And just like you said, it's time to get tough, because it's going to get a lot uglier if we let this brew and let it fester. And last night, it was really scary to see these students, Charlie, walking down the streets and whoever else walking down the streets with their little torches and burning American flags and waving Hezbollah flags on the streets of New York. And then they walked up to NYPD headquarters. Luckily, there was a line of NYPD officers in riot gear blocking the headquarters. But you wonder, what would they have done if there wasn't a line of NYPD officers? I mean, this is really scary stuff. And that's why they need to clamp down and understand that you're in this country. It's the greatest country in the world, and don't take advantage of it. 1-800-848-9222. We'll continue your calls, everybody, after the break.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rita Cosby Show.
The genius Prince, who has some of the greatest hits ever. Purple Rain is one of my favorites, too. And Raspberry Beret, you can never go wrong with him. And Michael Jackson, the guys know the songs I love here on The Rita Cosby Show. Well, boy, there is nothing to be cheering about when you look at what's going on the campuses of America. And also coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Trump in court. It was day six. And they had the gag hearing on him. We're waiting to see, because it could come down at any moment, if the judge is going to say that Trump violated the gag order. The prosecution says he violated it 11 times, including this morning. It's preposterous, some of the things that they're saying that he is violating it for. And there's even discussions of maybe throwing Trump in jail. How ludicrous is that? Speaking of which, the protesters are getting arrested or summoned, and they're getting right back out. But I guess if you're president of the United States and you're running against Biden, it's a different story. Give me a break. Let's go to Al, line one. Al, your thoughts about all of this.
Yeah, hi, Rita. You know, I just want to say, you know, there was talk, which I don't think will come to it, but they said if things really got bad in New York City, which is the the center where the demonstrations are taking place throughout the country, that maybe the National Guard would be called in. I don't think that will come to it. And I'm sure Mayor Adams wouldn't want it, because it would make him look bad. He's got re-election prospects in the future. And we saw that in Vietnam and during the civil rights era.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think the National Guard will be called in.
Yeah, you're right, by the way. They could. And the governor would have the ability. Remember, she sent some to the subways. I don't see that yet.
Rita Cosby is on.
Tonight, there are actually reports saying that essentially President Trump could be maybe thrown in jail if he violated his gag order. That is crazy. That the fact that they are actually even discussing it at this moment. And that also could apply, certainly, if he gets convicted, even though most times there would never even be a case on this. Of course, even this case was thrown by, of course, the Justice Department and even the prior DA, and even Alvin Bragg passed up on it. But for some reason, Alvin Bragg decided to resurrect it again. What a surprise, because it's prior to Election Day. So, boy, it's been a crazy day in the courtroom. By the way, also on the streets of New York, there's a midnight deadline for talks to dismantle the protest camp that is now set up at Columbia University, midnight Eastern time. So let's see what happens, because guess what? That's in about half an hour or so from now, guys. So let's see what happens, if indeed, because the camp doesn't just look like a little camp. I went camping when I was little. That's like 20 campgrounds. It's not even like a little camping site. That is like a whole camp city. And it's a big, huge area that has now been taken over, bigger than ever. It's like wall-to-wall camps. Again, a lot of these little tents all look the same. And Columbia University is setting a midnight deadline for some sort of agreement on how they can knock down these tents and come to some sort of kumbaya. And if you look, there are students everywhere out there with their little lights praying. Some of them are also shouting death to America, pro Hamas, all of that stuff. I mean, it is an unbelievable scene. And this is going on at Columbia University. It's also happening in a number of other schools across this country. And we'll keep you posted what's happening, because when midnight hits, let's see if there's an agreement. So far, it doesn't look like they have reached an agreement. The agreement now finally coming from some at the university is pack up. And yet the university president is like Biden, kind of waffling, saying, I would like you to leave. Please, please. I'm sorry, that doesn't work when people are throwing bottles at police and elsewhere. So we'll keep you posted what's going to happen, because the deadline to dismantle the tents should be coming up soon. And I don't see any tent dismantling. I see more going up. And that's what happens when you surrender to lawlessness. And when you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll let you go. I'm afraid of going after your First Amendment rights. I am all for First Amendment rights, but I am not for hate speech. And there's been a big difference, because, boy, have we seen a lot of hate speech going there. Speaking of hate, well, you can tell that Judge Marchand in the Trump case definitely is not a fan of Trump. I mean, it's so blatant. He wouldn't remove himself, even though he and his daughter clearly have Democratic ties. He's donated to Biden. The daughter has done all this fundraising for a whole bunch of high profile Democrats. They're not going anywhere. And then apparently Bragg has now said there's at least 10 violations of the gag order, and he thinks that President Trump should be held in contempt. There was a hearing this morning. Everybody wondered, well, will this happen? Will there be maybe some fining or an arrest or some scolding or whatever? We don't know. The judge listened to it and said he will make a decision very soon. And that could happen in potentially maybe a matter of hours. It could be tomorrow, could be the next day. Let's see what he's going to do. He could fine him. He could actually even say, I'm going to throw you in jail. That would be preposterous. I mean, the whole gag order thing is just obscene. And yet at the same time, this judge is allowing the other side, the prosecution, to do whatever it wants. The witnesses can say whatever they want. They can slam Trump. They're doing interviews everywhere, slamming Trump left and right. And also, even in the opening arguments, they played the Access Hollywood tape. They talked about it. They didn't play it, but they read the transcripts from it, because the judge said, OK, I won't let you play the audio, but you can actually read the full transcript from the Access Hollywood tape. You can bring in basically anything you want to do on Trump, and Trump, in return, can't really say very much. So here is the actual tape itself. Who could forget this? And this is so damning and so prejudicial, but they played it anyway.
I'm going to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just, I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
That was the tape, remember, with Trump whispering to Billy Bush. Remember, they didn't know that they were on hot mic. And even though he's just talking to him, they played that. So that is certainly going to affect the jury as they go in. Stormy Daniels, the adult film star, is expected to also testify at some point. David Pecker, who is the former head of the National Enquirer, he is still testifying. And so far, he's just describing his close relationship with Trump and how they had a deal to promote certain stories and kill others, which happens on campaigns all the time and happens with friends who have somebody in a tabloid media. I'm sure it's not the first and it won't be the last. And yet, listen to Hillary Clinton. Here is Hillary Clinton, not a podcast. Listen to how she describes the difference between Joe Biden and President Donald Trump, because she clearly says, oh, Joe's got problems, but not like the problems that we've essentially created for Trump. Listen to this.
And they say, oh, you know, Joe Biden's old. I always say, look, you're right. Joe Biden is old. He's also effective. He's compassionate. He cares about people. He wants to maintain our democracy. He will abide by the results of a fair and free election. And Donald Trump is old, and he has 91 felony criminal indictments against him. And in a court of law, it's not just rhetoric. This man has been indicted 91 times. And do we really expect him to govern in a stable, appropriate, rules-based, respectful way? Of course not.
Of course not. So the difference is they're both old, but Trump has 91 criminal counts against him, has 91 indictments. That's the difference. And I'm sure none of those are inflated, right? Well, here's a little more of what she said, because then she said, you know, it's not Biden who's a threat to democracy. Trump clearly is, and put him in the leagues of Putin and others. Listen to this one.
We haven't talked much about the international arena, but, you know, his bromance with Putin, and it was actually called that, I think, by the former prime minister of Australia, who said he saw Trump with Putin, and Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin, because Putin does what he would like to do, kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. And so we have to be very conscious of how he sees the world, because in that world, he only sees strongmen leaders. He sees Putin. He sees Xi. He sees Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Those are the people he is modeling himself after. And we've been down this road in our, you know, world history. We sure don't want to go down that again.
You know what? Tonight, I'm worried about these students starting to burn down streets in America. I'm worried because there's a deadline for talks to dismantle the Columbia protest camp, and they don't seem to be going anywhere. If anything, they are adding up. So what is the NYPD going to do? What is the governor going to do? We talked about she does have the option, if she wants to bring in the National Guard. They could also bring in the NYPD if there is a threat of harm to individuals. Normally they would have to come in if the university asked them to come in. And where's the university president during all of this? I mean, this whole thing is a mess. And yet Trump's the one who's a threat to democracy. This is where they're spending their efforts. It is insane. By the way, you guys, you know, I always read my Twitter feed, and I love when you send me things on Twitter, i.e. X. Catherine Trunk put this out. Rita, you nailed it about the protest signs and tents at the anti-Israel protests. Follow the money. I commend New York City mayor and the NYPD chief for pointing out the irony of massive uniform signs and tents. Who is funding this chaos? It's a security threat. I absolutely agree, Catherine. It is completely a security threat. We need to find out who it is. And guess what? They are committing acts against this country. They are fomenting hate and acts against this nation. If they're funding groups that are out there saying we love Hamas and death to America and burning American flags, that's anti-American. That is completely against this country. That's not free speech. That's disgusting. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Pete in Staten Island. Pete, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. If you give me the opportunity to speak on the mother, the grandfather of all these protests, this is called Occupy Wall Street. I know a lot about it. And here's the scoop. Here's the scoop. The only reason why they were able to clear out Zuccotti Park is because the fire department, sanitation department, building department, and the Board of Health, and the carpenters and electricians were all united because they had a contract to remove the lights that were on those trees, and it had to be done by that date, and that's how they got everybody out.
I remember that, by the way, Pete. I remember that.
They stored all their stuff, the tents, their belongings. But the only problem was the Board of Health was involved because there was a lot of sewage. There was a lot of feces and urine that was stored in 5-gallon jugs, you know, from the construction sites. And when they got all their stuff and put it in the trucks and the dumpsters, they poured all the sanitation, all the sewage and the feces on top. So these people did not want to claim their stuff.
Gross. So, Pete, let me ask you, how do you see this ending real quick?
How I see this ending, they have to do something like remove everything out because these colleges... My family all goes to college in Florida. They put down $5,000 to $10,000, buy a home for their children. They become residents of Florida, the children, and they go to college like at Florida State and all these big colleges for free. And there's no nonsense because Mr. DeSantis has this all under control.
But what do we do in New York, Pete? What do we do right now? There's a deadline to move the tents. They're not going anywhere. What do you think the school, NYPD, and the governor should do?
Well, they have to stand up to them because this is going to ruin everything. It is so dangerous out there with these kids, especially when there was Zuccotti Park and everything. My daughter was around the same age. A lot of these kids that were active were participants there. And my daughter, I had a big borrowing school to buy out the best cell phone for my daughter and musical instruments because they had it all. They were getting paid with $1,500 cell phones that were given to them. Wow. And other things. And I'm telling you, it's all fact.
Wow.
I could prove it all. I was there. I did a security detail for a lot of Wall Street guys that were afraid for their life to travel back and forth during that area.
Well, you know what? I bet, Pete, too. I bet you it's some of the same similar people. And you just talked about how they'd get these fancy schmancy cell phones. And like you see, these tents that are up there, these very expensive tents, even the NYPD is saying, wait a minute, they all kind of look alike. They're very organized. These signs are very pre-produced. There's a lot of things here that just seem so orchestrated. And I bet you it's some of the same people that are doing this. And I think it's important to track it down because what we're seeing is obviously, especially what's happening now with this hate, you know, vitriol about Jewish students and about America. It is of deep, deep concern. And we got to nip it in the butt. We should have done it day one. But it needs to be done ASAP because I can only see things are going to get a lot worse and a lot more escalated. And that's really, really scary, especially with some of the threats now that we've already seen and the hitting the cops on the heads. They've already crossed the line. And I don't want it to get any worse than it already is. Pete, you're terrific. Thank you, my friend. Always good to hear from you. And now, everybody, our support our heroes.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment with the powerful story coming from Wisconsin, where Congressman Derek Van Orden today honored a 102-year-old veteran who 81 years after his service ended. Imagine that. Veteran Neil Korn says, I like it. I appreciate it. Korn served in World War II. He was deployed in East Africa and England and through the invasion of France, where he served as a private first class in the 405th Artillery Battalion at just 19 years old. Now, as I mentioned, 102 years old, he is able to speak about his wartime experience and being honored with 5 military medals, including a Good Conduct Medal and a World War II medal, after his family reached out to Congressman Orton. How beautiful is that? The congressman said it's important to honor World War II veterans as the years go on. As we lose our greatest generation, he said, I think it's critically important, not just for them as individuals to understand that we appreciate it, but for families to know they gave us our reputation. They stood up and said, enough is enough. They joined farming communities. They went to inner cities. They answered the call with their nation, and they went and fought against true evil. And if that doesn't inspire you, the congressman said, I don't know what possibly can. I agree with him. What a powerful statement, and how beautiful to see this 102-year-old veteran highlighted in such a beautiful, powerful way. And everybody, America's heroes need your help. They always do. And there's ways that you can make a difference. Simply donate $11 a month to the great Tunnel to Towers Foundation. You know how much I love this organization. They do so much good. Check them out at t2t.org, t2t.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
And by the way, the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea has come out saying that Biden's comments that his Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals on Papua New Guinea doesn't seem to ring true. He's saying that President Biden's remarks may have been a slip of the tongue. However, my country does not deserve to be labeled as such. For the record, remember also the Pentagon has come out and said that there's evidence that Uncle Bozy's plane went down in the ocean, which is obviously very sad, but no evidence that it went over land, and that also he was eaten by cannibals, as President Biden has maintained. So now Papua New Guinea wants President Biden to set the record straight that they are not a cannibal country and they don't appreciate being labeled as such. Boy, you can't make it up, guys. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Rocco. Rocco, what do you think is going to happen? The deadline is fast approaching for these ne'er-do-wells to get off campus, and they're not going anywhere at Columbia. Where do you see this headed?
Yeah, first off, Rita, all my gratitude and respect to all veterans. P2T is a great organization. Support it.
They are. They're the best. They are great.
Yeah, absolutely. Terrific what they do. Biden, maybe the cannibals should eat him. What is he, nuts? My uncle was eaten by cannibals.
I know. Come on. And the way he said it was like, oh, by the way, Uncle Bozy, who was eaten by cannibals, wait, what did you just say? It was, and now Papua New Guinea, it sounds like they're inviting him to come to, you know, that he said, listen, there's a lot of World War II, sadly, individuals who did perish and their bones did go down there and the remnants. So come and do, you know, why don't you come and help search for Uncle Bozy as opposed to claim he was eaten by cannibals?
Yeah. Well, then again, they shouldn't eat him because they'd have to spit him out. He's so bitter tasting.
Yeah. I would say bland, because boy, is he bland. And you know what? As we're talking about all these protests, Rocco, right now, the fact that he is so waffly and so all over the place, to me, this is just so dangerous for this country. It's so, you know, and it's creating this moment where we have right now, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of students saying they're not going to leave and they're going to keep shouting, we love Hamas. What has America come to?